How long do you plan on remaining anonymous?
As long as humanly possible. Since I'm anonymous, driving this car is a pain in the f***ing ass.
So you have to wear this helmet every time you drive?
Every time I drive it. Not that I like that I have to do that, but, you know, those are the cards that I was given, and it has positives and negatives. Yes, it's difficult to drive my cars and to do things, but I like my life to be separate from this life, and there's things that I've done in the past that I don't necessarily want to put a face to.
What's currently done to the car right now?
This car has quite a bit done to it. Basically everything you could think of doing to this car, we did.
Welcome back to another episode of the Street Alpha Podcast. I am your host, Tooks. We are at Texas 2K. And we have the pleasure of stopping by and interviewing Slow. Slow is an anonymous brand at the moment, or anonymous profile, that has done numerous collabs. One of them being Texas 2K and 1320, which I think we're rocking some of the merch right now, right?
Yeah, this is from Texas 2K.
Yeah, Texas 2K, which is pretty fire. So make sure you guys go check that out. We'll drop that in the description below. But let's give a round of applause for Slow. You can't even clap. This is the first dope interview I've done with, like, somebody completely anonymous where you can't even see what they look like.
Right.
So yeah. Let's talk about how you got into your brand and how you grew the brand itself.
It kind of all started out with this car right behind me. I was going on social media just for fun, just shits and giggles. I would go and post myself like doing 150 mile per hour flybys on the highway. It got a lot of attention over time, and eventually a couple police departments, I would tag them. And they would comment back. And I was just doing it for fun, like, you know, haha. My car was completely straight piped. It was headers, no cats, no exhaust, no nothing. And so I thought it'd be funny to get the license plate that says quiet for Texas, but It was taken. So I threw on, just a fake Texas quiet plate. All my buddies had, like, fake Texas plates when they'd go out racing. So I'm like, you know, this will be mine. Back in the day, like, people would have, you know, their Instagram on their Texas fake plates and all these different things. And I thought that was really cool. So I threw it on and I started making videos just for fun. A couple of them got a lot of attention that I at first was very afraid of, but I kind of played into it. One of my first ones that ever blew up was me talking shit to a certain police department here in Texas.
Yeah.
They're actually one of the biggest police departments in terms of manpower. And I showed my car doing a flyby, and then I would pan over to my plate that said quiet. And I got a comment saying, like, why are you talking shit on a police department? Can't they just look up your plate? I was like, well, no, it's not my real plate.
Right.
Eventually, a couple other people, I guess, picked up on the fact that I had this, you know, Texas quiet plate, and they made their own. So there was a guy out in the Middle East. He was from Iran. And he vinyl wrapped his own quiet plate. He threw it on his Camaro, took a video of him flying by a cop with a fake Texas quiet plate all the way in another country and sent it to me. I was like, what the f-? I got this guy out here in the Middle East kind of doing the same thing as me. That's badass. And then another guy up in New Jersey, he had a Hellcat Charger, and he did the same thing. And he went up on an overpass and just, like, ripped it, and his buddy recorded him with the Texas quiet plate. I chalked a couple clips together, threw it up on the internet. I replied to one of the guys, and the video got like 6 million views about this group of people all rocking the same plate, and it has skyrocketed ever since. But that's kind of the weird thing, is I never intended to start it this way.
Right.
I kind of was doing my own thing, you know, racing out there, posting it with a fake plate, and other people caught on and said, how can I be a part of this? And I was blown away that the fact that people wanted to come in and rock the same fake plate, and it had never been done before. You know, we would have a group of people here in Texas, like four deep on the highway, all with the same Texas quiet plate. And our original idea was, if they call it in, if some police officer says, like, I've got a black Mustang plate, quiet, Corvette, quiet. Why does every plate say quiet? It would be confusing. And I guess people on the internet took to that. So we did our first drop just for shits and giggles. I never thought I would see anything like this happen after the fact. And so I had people from all over the United States all coming and buying Quiet Place and then going out there and doing whatever they, you know, whatever they wanted with them.
How long ago was this?
2 years ago.
So after the plates, right? Did you start developing other aspects of the brand too, like apparel and?
Yeah, of course. The brand kind of fell in my lap. Mm-hmm. I'd always done a lot of design on my own.
Right.
And I never really fully intended to create a brand out of it, but the support online was completely just right in my face. And I thought, you know, it'd be cool to give people like something to latch onto and a community to foster that I'm kind of in control of. And I really wanted to be able to have people have an idea and a message, which was, you know, Quiet Plate the World.
Right.
And yeah, it's taken off from there. You know, we sell hoodies, lanyards, all sorts of things that people want just to show that they rock with that mentality and the whole message behind Quiet, essentially.
Where do you get some of the inspiration for some of these designs? Because I said to you the other day, your merch is like very unique to the car community.
Right.
It's very like Supreme kind of vibe. So where do you get the inspiration from for all this stuff?
100%. It was stuff like Supreme, a lot of the New York, which is where you're from, a lot of those guys in the terms of like street apparel and stuff like that, they've got it down. Mm-hmm. You know, the designs are awesome. They're new, they're trendy, Off-White, killed it. And I had always wanted to see somebody do that in the car world because no offense to any other brands, but a lot of people do the same thing over and over and over. You illustrate a car, throw it on the back, call it a t-shirt, and that's all the car community had to kind of, you know, have your own group of people. You're like, this is my group, this is my group. I was like, okay, I'm already got this support around me. Where are all these people like me gonna fit in the car space? A bunch of newer, younger people. Where are we? You know, what is our group gonna end up looking like in the next 10 years?
Right. So you mentioned that the car is where it all started, right? This car right here?
100%.
So can you talk about what the car was before it was how it looked right now?
So I bought it as a Stingray, mm-hmm. Corvette. This started as a Stingray. Back in the day, I did full bolt-on, you know, headers, E, intake, you know, high RAM. That was fun. It was so much fun. The 600 to 700 horsepower figure, I would say, is the most fun figure for most car enthusiasts. Once you get past that to 1,000, the car no longer becomes like, go out and just have fun. It's like, it's a process behind getting behind the wheel of something like this. Mm-hmm. So I made videos. I did some crazy shit on the internet out in Mexico, of course. and it garnered a lot of attention. So much so that, you know, I knew that I had to take the Corvette, which was very fun to drive. I loved racing against people with it. People my same age, you know, we were broke college kids at one point. And I knew that I had to elevate the car beyond where it was because there was a group of people with a very high expectation that was continuing to grow for me.
Right.
And I wanted to deliver something like exceptional in my book, mm-hmm. and build something incredible with the car that so many people have a very certain idea about.
Right.
Yeah.
So were you looking at any other models besides this one?
You know, I actually personally think the two best Corvette models are the C6 and the C7.
I agree.
I never would branch out between the two.
Yeah.
Originally, when I was shopping for this one back in the day, I was very budget centered. I had $50,000, no more, no less. Well, I guess less. I could have gone less, but who wants to do that?
Right.
And so I looked at the market. It was like COVID-ish time, so the prices for these things were ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Even a Z06 was going for like $80,000, $90,000 when I bought this car. I was going to do a C6 Z06, get the LS7, but I knew that if I did that, there was a cost to do the heads right away. Everyone has issues with those. And at the time, I just wanted a car I could get in, drive, have fun, and not have to worry about a single thing. Plus, the interior of these was way better. And my mind back then was thinking, like, if I'm going to spend the money, either spend 50 for like an older car or 50 for a newer car, They're both V8s. They're both naturally aspirated. Yeah, the LT1 is dog shit, if I'm being honest. The LS7 is a better platform if you have the money, but at the time I didn't. And I never intended to build something like this or think that I could build something mm-hmm. like this. So I ended up going with a Stingray, LT1, C7, and the rest is history.
Why do you feel like the LT1 is garbage?
It's pretty garbage. I would say most people that I know can't push these things past 700, 800 horsepower without having some serious issues.
Okay.
Or having to throw some serious money. Obviously, I ended up wanting to go 1,000 plus, and I couldn't do that with the LT1 if I did.
Right.
I probably would have been able to drive it for a week. Maybe less. Maybe one pass on the track. You put 1,000 plus out of an LT1, come fucking find me because it's not possible. The LT4 is a way better platform. The LT1 is in the SSs and the Stingrays and mm-hmm. Grand Sports. And you see all those guys rocking a high RAM cam, simple setup, making 700-ish, and they're happy. But to go beyond that without having some serious repercussions after the fact, you're going to have to drop in like a stroker or even switch over to an iron block setup like a 427, you know, dark block. So
what's currently done to the car right now?
So this car has quite a bit done to it.
Yeah.
Basically everything you could think of doing to this car, we did. I basically sat down last year after Texas 2K with Texas Speed and said, look, here's what I want to do. How can we get there?
Yeah.
And the owner, JD, he was like, dude, we love your videos. We love what you're doing with this car. Let's give you something more to do. Let's just break the internet with the build. Mm-hmm. So it's a 416 long block. Everything inside of it is from Texas Speed. It's cammed. Everything you could think. They shipped me a crate motor, okay. Essentially,
right.
To drop in. It's got a Magnuson 2650 on it, which... great supercharger. It's my preference over like the F1X. It's got the 2 high PSI port injection kit. So it's got the valve covers, the plate, the lid, which sounds really, really loud. We built the suspension up. So it's got, 1400 plus rated axles. It's got a new differential from the ZR1 and the car is a stick shift. So it's got the Tremec TR6070 in it.
Oh, wow.
Which I, obviously automatics win races, but the joy of driving a stick can't be beat. I love, just rowing through the gears, downshifting next to somebody and sending it. Let the best driver win pretty much.
That's dope. Yeah. What was the inspiration behind your wheel setup here on this car?
So it's Velux, 15s in the rear and 18 front skinnies in the front. I essentially just wanted something super aggressive.
Okay.
I was a huge fan of Velux based like from the T1, Audi R8s rocked them, and Joe Tech and a bunch of the guys here in Dallas, mm-hmm. they rocked them on their GTRs.
Yeah.
Advanced Modern Performance, a lot of their cars back in the day whenever I was first shopping and looking had Velux as well. Stupid, ridiculously expensive, but they look badass. They perform pretty well. You can wrap some real meat onto the tires, which, we had to decrease the brakes in the back, all the works, just the stuff that you got to do to be able to push a car to that power.
Right.
And I wanted to obviously put all the power I was putting under the hood to the ground,
So you just recently revealed this, right?
Yeah. It was an effort. Since I'm anonymous, driving this car is a pain in the fucking ass. I have to wear this stupid helmet.
So you have to wear this helmet every time you drive?
Every time I drive it, yeah.
Doesn't matter if you want to go to the grocery store, hang out with your girl?
I don't drive this car to the grocery store. It's got its own history.
Okay, so it's only when you're... Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. This car basically gets taken out when I want to race someone or when I want to go and get content or do something for social media.
Okay.
All other times, it stays right where it is. Not that I like that I have to do that, but those are the cards that I was given, and it has positives and negatives, just based off of what we used to do with this car.
Right.
But yeah, it's not a grocery getter by any means. I have to, wear a helmet, my NSX as well. I'm sitting in here with a helmet on, some gloves on. I go, my friend group, the quiet group that really supports me, I couldn't do this without them. you know, they'll follow me in an NPC car, is what we call them, which is just someone's daily driver. Mm-hmm. We'll get somewhere, I'll get out, they swoop in, pick me up, and we go, and just the car is at, you know, the location, or we'll trailer it in super late at night, like 4 a.m., drop it off, take care of everything. So yeah, we revealed it. I let a couple people rev it, you know, a couple people that everyone else knows is not me. I'm like, go, my keys are going to be here. Go get in. A crowd will form. Just fucking send it after you warm it up. And yeah.
So how was the reveal experience? I mean, how did you even get to watch it?
No, I wasn't there. Oh, unfortunately, didn't even get to see it myself. But, you know, a bunch of people took videos I've been able to see. And I haven't really even gotten to drive this car too much. Mm-hmm. It got done right before Texas 2K. It's unregistered, it has no plate, and a bunch of illegal things on it that are not really what you want to be driving when you've got the police presence that there was during Texas 2K. Yeah. So
I agree.
I thought I'd wait until after, just because it was one versus like 1,000 out there on the streets, and to even get this car anywhere is a pain in the ass, especially with all the police with out there.
Yeah, and you get the helmet, and it's a lot. It's a lot going on. So now you have the NSX as well.
Yeah.
Right? And this is something that you recently picked up?
I picked it up about last summer.
Yeah. Last summer.
Yeah.
So do you enjoy this car more than this car?
Or? You know.
No?
In a way, yes. Okay. The Corvette, I absolutely love it. But I'm not like a one-size-fits-all kind of guy.
Gotcha.
You know, a lot of people would look at somebody who drives a car like this and think that I just love going fast and that's it.
Right.
But that could be the furthest from the truth. I feel very diversified in my enjoyment for cars and what I like to drive. And the NSX is probably one of the best driver cars there is.
That's why I asked. Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's fast. It's probably as slow as a new Honda Civic.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck, because cars are not all about going fast. People would assume, if they look at me, some dude who used to post, you know, 180 mile per hour flybys in Mexico for fun, lights completely out, that this dude is an adrenaline junkie and only likes to go fast. But when I sit in this thing, I just feel like elegant. I don't know. I'm not elegant looking like this, but I feel like I'm wearing like a tuxedo. You know, it's a driver's car. It's by no means going to beat anyone in a race, but that's not why Honda designed this, and that's not why I bought it. So I would say pure drivability, this one is a little more refined just on class, and then this one is just a street beast that's going to go out there and whoop some ass pretty much, yeah.
And this is right-hand drive, too. It's pretty
so we imported it from Japan. It's right-hand drive. The display inside, the guy in Japan put in like an aftermarket screen, and when I boot the car up, it talks to me in Japanese.
Oh, that's so cool.
I have no clue what they're telling me, and I couldn't even repeat it if I wanted to, but when I start it up, I just hear a bunch of stuff in Japanese, and I'm just like, yeah, this is fucking cool.
is this manual, or is this auto?
No, so another thing, I love playing into it. It gets a lot of impressions and views on the internet.
Yeah.
The NSX is an automatic. Of course, I know how to drive stick. This car is a stick and will always remain a stick. It's just I couldn't beat the deal of getting this car for what I got it for. Of course, I wanted a manual, but also if you're sitting there and you're used to driving on the right side, you know, shifting gears, I'm a right dominant hand guy. Using my left hand, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to hop in this. I'm not driving fast. I'm not doing anything crazy. Throw it in drive and go. Sometimes I sit in it and wish, you know, I had made the decision. Not saying that I won't eventually swap some stuff into this. Yeah. That's probably coming, knowing me. But
it's an easy swap to switch to.
It's easy, yeah. And the motor in the NSX is also dog shit. So the stock motor goes for about $13,000, but you can't really push too much out of the stock engine.
You can't.
And it's so valuable that I wouldn't even want to touch it. If I wanted to do anything to this car, which I do, I'm not going to do it on the stock engine. I'm going to pull it, sell it to some rich guy over wherever that wants a stock motor, no matter what. Probably throw a K-Series in there.
That's the way to go.
Probably throw a K-Series in there, you know, turbo it. I've seen a Whipple someone has Whipple supercharged an NSX, which I commented on that video. Whipple, if you see this, I would love to Whipple this, throw a manual swap in there, and fucking send this car hard. But for now, it's just my slow, completely stock as far as the engine and other components.
Yeah.
Japanese supercar, I guess. Yeah.
So are any of the cars that you own, are they actually slow? Like, because that's a common thing. People say their cars are slow, but they're obviously not slow.
No, it actually came from the fact that I drove a V6 Camaro back in the day. So when I started my Instagram account, I had a V6 Camaro. I was a dude in college with a V6 Camaro. And my really good friend at the time would always say, RS Camaro, that stands for really slow.
Yeah.
And all my friend guys, we'd go to little car meets together. We're all rocking like BRZs, you know, the slowest of slow cars.
Yeah.
Not saying they're not good cars, but they're not fast cars. Your average college kid, little friend group that people say are like daily traffic, that was me.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, oh, you got your really slow Camaro. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm going to make my name really slow. Like, I'm just going to own it and roll with it.
Yeah.
And we've all been there. Every car guy has owned something that's not what the crazy car they own today.
Right.
Or every car guy that has a car like that aspires to have a crazy car like this someday. I never thought I would attain something like this in my life, and then here you are. But yeah, the name comes from RS. I was like, fuck it, really slow. Made my name that. It stuck ever since. I guess if you want to call this really slow, you know, we can find out. But no, I don't even race people like that either. So
you don't race at all? No, there's no street racing at all in your blood?
Yeah, 100%. I raced down in Mexico. We actually trailered the car down in Mexico, and that's where, you know, I think this hoodie actually says that all activities filmed in Mexico or something.
Which is pretty.
Yeah, we got like a really good, you know, transport team, and you know, if anyone's watching this, you know, get a transport team, tow your stuff down to Mexico, have some fun there, and then you know, film all your videos there, and then you can come back up and live your life. But yeah, I don't grudge race or anything like that. I, no offense to those guys, it's just not me. I like to do it for fun. You know, I have a group of friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the element of whose car is faster as a friendly little thing.
Right.
Like, I spend all this money on my car. I spend all my money on my car. Your two buddies, you're like, I wonder who's faster, me or you. Go out there, find out. Which is good because I've made that clear. Hopefully after this, you know, it continues to be the same. But no one really calls me out. Everyone pretty much that is in my kind of circle, like the quiet circle. If you're going to call me out, I'll be like, I don't fucking care, dude. Like, look at my dyno. Look at your dyno. I only race for fun. I race my friends. We've got a really nice circle of people. I keep things very discreet, very low key. And that's how I get my enjoyment out of it. I don't get enjoyment of some dude I've never met calling me out on the internet. Like Deshaun, he gets called out every single day by some dude in every single state.
Who?
Boosted Lucky.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good friends with him. I would hate to be in the position he's in. Some dude on the internet, you know, 1,000 miles away could talk shit about you and say, let's come race. And then you're like, what? I'm not going to trailer my car up to New Jersey to race.
Yeah, he's got a big trailer. He's not. It's a lot, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's like you can talk all the shit you want on the internet. I'm not going to come to Florida to race you. Yeah. You know, I've got way better things to be doing. And even if you do show up here in Texas, I probably still have better things to be doing than race you. Like, you're not even worth a tank of gas. I race for fun. That's pretty much all it is.
I think that he kind of did that to himself, though, by posting the clips he did on social media. But he's awful. I mean, he's such a humble guy that I don't even think he cares. I think he's just focused on whatever he's doing.
I'll tell you right now, does not give a fuck. He is the most chill, tame person that I know. What's on the internet is what's on the internet, but I'm not going to come and call someone out because I don't want anyone to call me out.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. Yeah.
So there has been a lot of controversy around the takeover scene and how it's affected Texas 2K and street racing just in general.
Yeah.
What is your take on how takeovers have affected the racing community or just car community in general?
It's affected it like to a insane new magnitude that has never been seen before. And I personally think that takeovers will lead to the decline of all the car scene in totality. The takeover guys, I fucking hate them. You might be a good person outside of it, but what you're doing and your actions directly contribute to how everyone else's life is lived. So essentially, like, let's give an example. A bunch of takeover guys did a takeover in downtown Austin,
Okay. Which
is the capital of Texas, right in front of the senators, the governor, every person that could make a law to try and combat what they were doing was being pressured by the city of Austin, the news and everything. Like, this has gotten so out of control. They're doing it in your fucking capital. What are you going to do about it? And so the governor is like, I guess I have to do something about it and pass the most harsh law in the history of like street racing in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
These laws are no fucking joke, and they have utilized them to the fullest extent that they can. And this recent Texas 2K is a prime example of it. But the reason that got passed was a lot of things building up to it. But the takeover down there in Austin, right in the Capitol, contributed to them targeting everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And me personally, I promote, you know, obviously street racing is just as illegal as a takeover.
Yeah.
A lot of their key arguments are the only ones getting hurt are the ones participating. Not true. You go on Instagram and swipe twice and you see somebody die at a fucking takeover. And Instagram is complicit too, because they push those videos to younger people.
Right.
They show some dude getting creamed by a car, doing 5 flips in the air and landing on their head, to some 12-year-old scrolling on TikTok. Right. And it's glamorized because those videos get millions of views. Second, they say, we're not doing anything that street racers aren't. You know, they're both illegal. One is taking over an entire intersection, stopping all forms of traffic, essentially shutting an entire part of a city down. You know, people can't get to work, emergency vehicles can't get by. You have thousands of people, hundreds to thousands of people surrounded in one area, and they're not good people. Some of them maybe, but if you see instances of takeover things, you have dudes with Dracos spinning around, shooting out guns into like a crowded area.
Yeah.
You know, some guy gets their clapped out, stolen Dodge Charger hit, hops out and starts shooting the guy in a G37, also clapped out, that hit them. It's like complete chaos. It literally looks like an anarchy scene from a movie. These guys go out and do it and terrorize parts of a town every day of the week. And if you don't think that news outlets and the general population see that, you're out of your mind. You know, they're gonna do something about it because you are extremely loud about it. Just funny, because I named my brand Quiet, because we go out, do shit in the, you know, in the shadows, go get your runs in. No street racer is out there causing a fucking scene. You know, your main point when you're street racing is having fun, but doing it without getting caught, without doing it without causing a distraction, because your goal is to get away from the cops or not even have cops come. Mm-hmm. and fuck with you, because you're just trying to go out and have fun, and that's your outlet to do it. Whereas the takeover guys, what do you expect? You know, you're gonna have an entire department descending upon you within 15 minutes of starting it. So they're two very, very, very different groups of people.
Right.
One of which is in my opinion, causing a lot of the laws and crackdowns. And one of which has been going on for, you know, dozens of years, probably since cars have existed, people have been racing them. And most people, not everyone, you know, you still see clips of people street racing in traffic.
Yeah.
Running into some mom in a minivan. You're the problem too. You're fucking stupid. Don't go out racing on a busy highway and expect something positive to come from it. You're doing something illegal, both sides. Do it right. Like, don't go out and cause chaos in your city or in your area, because there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it.
When it comes to street racing,
yeah,
do you feel like it's a lot safer than going to a takeover?
It can be, or it can't be. There's dudes that go out there and have no spotters, no line of sight, will just fucking go 100 miles per hour racing some dude that they just met in a Mustang and hit some mom in a minivan. Those people are terrible people. You're making the most brain dead decisions on of time and a place. There's mm-hmm. a time and a place for everything. a lot of those videos you see are just dudes just who got a fast car that know nothing and honestly are just as much of a problem as takeover guys. The way I have done things in the past and the way that people around me have taught me to do things in the past, you know, I grew up around this stuff too. You know, I have people who have been street racing since, you know, I was a little kid, and they're grown adults now and have never had any problems. And it's because, you know, they'll send some guy out with the walkie-talkie a mile up ahead on the highway, clear it. You have a guy with the walkie-talkie behind you. Do what, you know, whatever transpires in Mexico there. Ensure nothing happens. Nobody is going to get hurt. It's an empty highway at 2 a.m. in Mexico. But there's no, you know, you're minimizing the risk as much as possible. Whereas when you're doing something in a crowded city with pedestrians, just trying to get home, just trying to drive by, just trying to walk across the street, and the takeover guys would be like, oh, why are you interrupting our takeover, blah, 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 let's go jump them. And there's dozens of videos of just some mom who tries to drive around a takeover. All the dudes just focus their attention there, smash their car, pour gasoline on it, light it on fire. Those aren't car people. Those are criminals disguising themselves, you know, around the car scene. Those people are not good people by any stretch of the imagination. They're the same guys at protests that will go and just torch, you know, the whole city just because they feel empowered by being around a bunch of other bad people. Whereas, in my opinion, not everyone will feel this way, but the street racing scene, if you're going out there at 2 a.m. on an empty stretch of a large highway, it's completely clear, nobody up front, nobody in the rear, and you do what you need to do, you know, there's a lot less risk, there's a lot less chaos that ensues there versus the other side who are the problem.
What can we do to kind of fix the problem? Because everyone talks about it,
yeah,
but it doesn't seem like anything is ever going to be done because
right,
the police department doesn't, or police in general don't seem like, you know, they care enough to even want to put certain things in place to make it safer or make these events happen easier for people who actually
right,
care.
I'll give it a quick shout out, and not that it's the solution, but there is a group here in Texas called Texas House of Power.
Okay.
And they basically, the guy who started it, he built a massive concrete pad and he lets people come and host events and do stuff. Mm-hmm. And they do the same takeover style stuff. People still get creamed and hit. The same thing that you see at a takeover, like dudes crash their cars there, people get hit.
Yeah.
It's chaos, but you're allowing all these people to like have an outlet. I don't know how long stuff like that can last because, you know, some guy brings their girlfriend and they're 16 and the girlfriend gets hit. The parents are, eventually something like that is going to get taken down too, because
right,
people are going to get hurt that want repercussions, you know, from if it's an organized event.
Mm-hmm.
But something like that is becoming the right step of giving people an outlet. And street racers will say the same thing as, you know, you're shutting down our tracks, so where are we supposed to go? So I understand where the takeover guys are coming from if they say, we don't have an outlet, we don't have this, we don't have that. But who do you think builds the tracks? It's car people.
Yeah.
Car people giving back to their community, starting a racetrack. Do you think some guy that doesn't like cars is going to build a racetrack? No. It's because the car community, everyone kind of understands each other. You know, you pull up to a car meet, you can have a conversation with a random guy with their hood open for 30 minutes, walk away, never see them again. And it was a genuine interaction.
Right.
How about takeover guys start building skid pads, legal skid pads? How about you start providing that to your community? If you're a big baller guy flexing 10 stacks of money on your story, and then you go to a takeover, how about you do something for your community? How about you go out there and build a legal skid pad or make an impact? And you have to have a couple people there who are willing to invest and give their community that they care so much about, show it. We host an event up at Texas Motor Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
We have a legal skid pad. Last event, we had, you know, 4,000 attendees. I think one dude showed up that was like a takeover guy.
Yeah.
And was going crazy in there. Perfectly legal. Had a huge crowd of people hyping him on. Same thrill, same everything. But you're not causing any issues. So I think that's a step. Another step is for Instagram to stop promoting it. They're as complicit as the people there. TikTok, I hate it for as a car enthusiast. If a car is moving on TikTok, your video gets fucking taken down.
Yeah,
even doing a pass at a drag strip, TikTok just removed that shit.
Yeah.
So I think that Instagram is complicit as well. It's the younger crowd that kind of goes towards that thing because they think they're being cool, all this. The only way to stop it is to stop them from thinking it's cool and to stop showing them it. And, you know, the police departments, it's their job too. Same thing with, you know, putting an end to whatever they, you know, want to put an end to.
Right.
I think social media is the complete entire reason why takeovers have exploded the way they have. And I think Instagram is one of the only platforms that allows those videos to get the traction they do. And they show it to young people who see it and are glamorized by it and want to go out there. And then most of those people eventually will have a terrible experience with, you know, a takeover. Their buddy will see a bullet fly by their head, or their hit, you know, other buddy will get hit by a guy trying to do a rollback that's never drifted a day in their life. Mm-hmm. Lots of people will show up to those things and find out the hard way. But until those people find out the hard way, the best way to stop it is to stop glamorizing and showing it on our social media platforms and to stop promoting the culture. And Instagram is the number one platform that does that. You know, you scroll 10 times on Instagram and you'll see somebody die. It's outrageous. I think it's, you know, I think they're just as at fault.
It happens a lot when you scroll on Instagram, when you see that stuff pop up. It pops up a lot on my personal account for some reason, but
yeah, and I don't engage with it.
Yeah, me neither. I barely on my personal account, but I see it pop up all the time. Yeah.
Yep.
Super odd. But well said. I mean, hopefully there is a resolution or some type of solution that we can come to kind of fix this whole takeover thing. I honestly, to be honest, I hate to say it, but I don't think anything's going to change.
I would say no matter what,
I mean, I do believe in, you know, fighting for what you believe is right.
Yep.
However, it's just something that is not, it's just, I don't see it happening. I feel like it's going to get worse for a lot of things when it comes to cars.
Yep.
And then obviously there'll be some other political things like, you know, EPA stuff and
banning gasoline cars. I would say us car enthusiasts should get involved in some way with that. Eventually driving something like this on the road will be illegal.
That's what I'm saying.
By the time I have kids, maybe by the time you have kids or your kids have grandkids, even owning a car like this may become illegal one day.
Right.
And that's on us to fight for it. Obviously, everything's going electric. But, you know, there's something that we as car enthusiasts want to and have the, not obligation, but if you have a platform, I have a platform, I speak on it all the time. Like, we have to preserve our community. And that's part of what Quiet is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're banning gas cars. They're cracking down. You have no front license plate. They come and write you the book just to make a point. You know, we're being targeted. And I would say takeover guys have a huge reason why we're being targeted, because they're the guys on the news, you know, getting a police helicopter, huge story coverage. All the Karens in the world are mad about it.
Yeah.
But I think car enthusiasts, we need to stand up for what we want our kids and their kids to be able to enjoy. And I don't enjoy driving a Tesla. You know, if it ain't purring, if there isn't a motor cranking up, I don't give a fuck about it, and I want to be able to pass off my passion to my kids and to have a new generation of car enthusiasts grow up not idolizing, you know, some electric car with a motor that goes out in 5 years. So,
no, I agree. I think the best thing that could be done is to have more tracks open up, but they're doing the opposite and closing them down.
Yeah, so they are.
It's like a battle that it's kind of like, all right,
yep,
we could try, but the only thing you could do is bring more awareness, which is, you know, kind of why I do this too. And if not, if they're going to keep pushing, you know, all this stuff and trying to eliminate the things that are done legally, then the best I could do is at least have a place for people to come and talk about how it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, sadly, but
that's sadly, yeah.
So, what I want to know before we close out, right? How long do you plan on remaining anonymous?
As long as humanly possible. I hate the influencer thing. You know, I see my buddies like Kevin, who does a e-com side hustle, him and his friend Brett, BT Whips. They're super new into the whole influencer thing. And I met them while they were just getting started. And then now you show up to a car meet with them and they have like 100 people around them. It's nonstop. You go out. I like enjoying my privacy. Yes, it's difficult to drive my cars and to do things, but I like my privacy. I like my life to be separate from this life. And there's things that I've done in the past that I don't necessarily want to put a face to. So I think it's best for me and for my brand and for Quiet to remain the way it is. And that way I could continue if I do some more stupid shit with this new car, with a new build. It's best. Yeah.
Is there going to be any more drops coming soon?
100%. Nothing completely planned right now. I had one planned in the future, and there were some complications with the person I wanted to do the collab with. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, I do drops all the time, every couple months. We sell out in about 10 hours or less, Supreme style. Everything's just ramped up. You know, I think we sold a total of like 40,000 Quiet plates in the time I've started till now. So the movement is huge. I welcome all of you guys to take a look at, you know, what I post and what my brand posts, and kind of, you know, some people think that, you know, a kid with a Quiet plate is the most cringy thing in the world.
Yeah.
I see it a different way. You know, I see it as a community of car enthusiasts coming together. Obviously, there's the whole racing, you know, cop element to my brand.
Right.
But that's because of this car.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not all that I am. And that's not all I want to be known for. Obviously, people like that. And that's, you know, part of the reason why I am where I am today. But I also want to preserve what we have, like we just talked about, and, you know, be able to continue showing younger and people my age, you know, car enthusiasts, that there is a community for them. And there's a community of people, no matter what you drive, no matter what kind of car you build. If you're an 18-year-old with a V6 Camaro, or a dude with a fully built twin turbo Mustang running a Texas 2K, you know, there's a place for you.
Mm.
And there's a place for everyone to come together and fight for what we want to preserve, you know.
Well said.
Yep.
Well, can you tell the viewers and listeners where to find you?
Yeah. I am RLY.SLO, really slow, on both TikTok and Instagram. And then my brand page on TikTok is just @Quiet. And my Instagram is @quiet.racing, because the guy that owns @quiet won't sell it to me. So, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a fucking asshole. He blocked me on 10 accounts at least. And my offers have gone... I mean, I shouldn't be spending the money that I want to spend to get that.
Yeah.
But he just blocks me.
What?
Yeah.
That sucks.
And yeah, he's literally got like no followers, no nothing. Like, private account with the @. And I can't get it, so, oh well.
That's the worst. I'm trying to get my .com.
Yeah.
Can't get that.
That's so important too, but those are more expensive than even Instagram, you know, apps, so.
And the site's not even up for .com, so.
I know. Wish you the best.
Well, I appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, of course.
Hopefully you don't pass out. So that's probably good thing that we kept this interview short.
I wouldn't want to do this if I didn't have to, but you know.
No, I feel you. It's super cool though. I think it'll, for the aesthetic of you know, the page and everything, and your brand.
Yeah,
I think it'll look cool.
It totally does.
It'll definitely look cool.
I'm fucking hot as shit though, so I might pass out. Yeah.
I appreciate you so much, bro. Thank you so much for taking your time to do this. And hopefully when I come back to Texas, we can link up again and maybe do something a little bit in a different setting. We'll figure something out.
All right. I'll take you for a ride. I've got a new night vision camera for this car, so.
Oh, okay, dope.
Yeah. We'll go do some scary shit.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever taken a ride in a C7.
Okay. I'll take you for a ride, you know, very fast with no lights on. It'll be a good time.
Actually, that'll be pretty dope with the helmet on and everything.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, guys, make sure you guys like, share, comment, and subscribe. Make sure you guys are listening on all streaming platforms. And also make sure you check out Slow on Instagram. Make sure you guys also support his brand and cop some merch as well. Super fire, as you guys can see, I'm wearing it right now. Until next time, guys, catch you on the next one. Peace.